You know, we think technology is our friend, but when it turns on you, it's not. I printed my sermon and apparently printed the same thing on both sides instead of two pieces. I know this is not very liturgically correct, but I'm going to have this instead of preaching the same thing to you twice. So I apologize for this new way. I don't know if you've ever used the conversation starter. If you could spend time on a desert island, or the venue varies, if you could spend time with any one person in all of history, who would it be? I could never come up with a name. I know I'm a priest and I'm supposed to say Jesus. I know that. But I think too hard on it. I can tell you, however, that John the Baptist would be absolutely on the bottom of my list. This was a man that made people uncomfortable with his roughness and his demands for repentance, even his diet and his clothing. So imagine going out to this man, maybe that you had met before and been scared of, or maybe that you'd never met. Imagine going to this man and putting yourself in his hands to be baptized. Keep in mind that such a baptism would look nothing like our idea of baptism. It didn't take place with weeks of planning with the family to get them all in town. It didn't involve cleaned up, dressed up people reciting words in a plush setting. It wouldn't have been a safe, comfortable setting where everyone smiles and sings, "Shall we gather at the river?" I think it's good to let ourselves feel the discomfort of this setting. I try to picture myself undergoing that kind of baptism in that kind of place. How would it have looked and felt? I have gone to this place in my imagination, and I've tried to picture myself going there with the others, and I invite you to do that also. We're standing here, a little knot of people. Curiosity has brought us to this riverbank, all shapes and sizes of people, some considering baptism, some wanting to see the baptizer. You couldn't help having heard the stories about this man in the wilderness. It's certainly worth going just to catch a glimpse of the baptizer, and perhaps of the one he proclaims, the one he says he precedes. So I'm standing there with this group of people. From the clothes they wear and their accents, I can tell that they have come from all over Judea. Some are city people, some are country people, but everyone walking down to the river carries something. Maybe the word carry doesn't capture the relationship they have with these objects. They are clutching these objects to themselves as if their very lives depend on them. And in my imagination, I realize that I have the same death grip on my prayer book. As people introduce themselves, almost every introduction begins with the words, "I am," and ends with a role, a job, a skill, or some other status symbol. It's not as if we can't figure out who these people are, though. The objects they carry identify them, and each object seems to be a tangible way of saying, "I am." The man who says, "I am a scholar," carries a scroll, looking for opportunities to explain its meaning, even to people who are more concerned about whether they will eat today. There is a woman who says, "I am a mother." She has a child in her arms. The child is dressed in a garment so ornate, so interwoven with gold that it gleams in the sun. The fancy miniature robe makes the child look like a little king or a high priest. One man says, "I am a soldier," and he carries his weapons. And he seems eager to exert his authority and keep this rabble in line if necessary. Another person says, I am an athlete, carrying a trophy and telling stories of a race no one else remembers. One man says, I am a money changer. He clutches his wallet, suspicious that every person is trying to take it from him. As for me, I certainly carry my prayer book with me everywhere. Otherwise, people might not realize how important I am in the church. I am a priest. I am. Shortly, though, a young man, probably in his early 30s, makes his way along the slick riverbank, picking his way down the gently sloping part of the bank so that he won't fall. John waves and beckons him forward, but something is different about this man. He is the one person who isn't carrying anything. He wades into the thigh-deep water, approaching the wild man, John. The baptizer seems hesitant, but the man smiles and puts himself into John's hands. Someone behind me says that they are cousins. John leans the man back into the water, and I will never forget what happens next. The sky is torn apart. A voice comes from above us saying, you are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. Everyone hears it. This is not the scene I would picture singing, Shall We Gather at the River. This is something very unsettling and yet immense. John beckons to the next person in line. Stunned by what we have seen and heard, we move along tentatively, waving tentatively towards him. Each person leans back in John's arms and then rises up, just as every Christian who dies to self rises up to be born again. I'm a little nervous. What do I do with my prayer book? Will I hold it up out of the water to protect it? And then I look on the other side of the river. For those baptized, there is something very different about them. The soldier no longer has weapons, and his face has changed. The look of aggressive confrontation is gone, replaced by quiet confidence. The athlete who has been baptized no longer has his trophy. The money changer no longer holds his money with that death grip. His hands are empty, and his face is empty of anxiety. He scrambles up the bank, looking strangely graceful for a tiny little guy. The woman and her baby are baptized together. The child's ostentatious garment is gone, replaced by a simple white garment. The woman also wears that garment. The worry lines are gone. The baby is laughing with delight, making us all long to be filled with joy and devoid of fear. Those waiting start to whisper. The same question in different forms circulates among us. If I'm not an athlete, a parent, a rich man, a soldier, what am I? If I'm not a priest, then what am I? After my turn, my hands are empty. Echoing in my head are the words, you are my beloved, with you I am well pleased. I climb up the riverbank, feeling less burdened than ever before in my life. I no longer worry about what I should do, what I should be, because I have heard and absorbed those words that I am the beloved of God. What if we choose to participate in such a scene, to let go of what seems so important to us, and to put ourselves in the hands of someone who is scary and challenging? What if we chose to enter the river so deeply that we could leave behind all those things that we thought defined us? What if we gathered at the river not for a comfortable scene, but to give each other courage to let baptism free us of our baggage? What if we gathered at the river every week to assure each other that we are the beloved of God, and we can let go of those other things because we are loved? If I had been there that day, I would come up out of the riverbank on the other side, not the same person as when I went in. I used to say, like everyone else, I am, filling in the blank with my occupation or my gifts or my accomplishments. But having gathered with others at the river, I can let those I am statements go. It isn't the things in our hands that define us. They can be important to us, but they don't define us. Having been to the river, they become gifts instead of crutches that we need to get by. We are God's beloved. In us, God is well pleased. As Romans says, if God is for us, who can be against us? A soldier can be a defender without thriving on power over others. The scholar can treasure and promulgate learning. The athlete can compete. The parent can be proud and doting. The priest can seek good without wondering whether anyone has noticed. And we can let everything unnecessary wash away in the river if we can find courage in one another and trust in God. We can let go of everything else when we gather at the river. I'm just a human being. And I cannot say, I do not know what will happen when the losses and challenges of tomorrow come. Today, though, having been baptized as Jesus was baptized, my sense of identity changes. Who am I? I am God's beloved.